It's not just a steampunk adventure.
This podcast is not suitable for children or those who are easily disturbed. Spoiler warning for whatever is in the title of this episode.
And now for the obligatory socials. Please like, share and subscribe. You can find the podcast on Twitter at HorrorPod69. You can also follow us on Facebook, Instagram, Slasher and Goodreads. Become part of the Disturbed community by asking for the Facebook group and Discord links. Send dick pics to the Horror of Babylon podcast at gmail.com. Support the show at patreon.com/thehorrorofbabylon. In closing, you can let your friends know that The Horror of Babylon is available on YouTube, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Audible and all other major podcast apps.
Welcome to episode 9 of the Treehouse of Horror of Babylon, where we are discussing If I Only Had a Brain from Treehouse of Horror 2. I am Ryan, and with me as always is Daniel. Say hi, Daniel.
Dope.
Dope!
Yeah, can't do it.
Thank you to our patrons, Abigail the First, Breaker of Chains, Mother of Dragons, and...
Logan,
the Full Metal patron. And thank you... Hey, it was Logan in this episode, because he's Full Metal.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Huh. And thank you to Four Horsemen Comics and Gaming, which you can visit at the Morgantown Mall in Morgantown, West Virginia, the Mall at Robinson in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, or on Main Street in Springfield, where they just bought out the Androids Dungeon. And I heard that Comic Book Guy and his cute weeaboo wife are retiring to Japan, so he's gonna live the dream.
The Android Dungeon was the name of my Dragon Ball fan fiction.
The Android 18 Dungeon.
First of all, I'm more of a 19 guy.
Is that the one that looks like a clam?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, I'm going to kink shame.
Yeah.
The vampires are pure myth, superstition. I may be able to bring you proof that the superstition of yesterday can become the scientific reality of today.
Background. The original air date of this episode was Halloween 1991. This is from Treehouse of Horror 2, which is Season 3, Episode 7. Overall, it's episode number 42. The other two segments are The Monkey's Paw, which is a parody of, get ready for it, The Monkey's Paw. And The Bart Zone, which is a parody of the Twilight Zone episode, It's a Good Life. This was directed by Jim Reardon, who's famous for his student film Bring Me the Head of Charlie Brown, which we should do a bonus episode on at some point, because that thing's hilarious. But he also wrote for Tiny Toons, and he worked for Pixar and Disney, worked on movies such as WALL-E, Wreck-It Ralph, and the zoo movie, Zootopia.
Oh, so the good ones.
Yeah. Those are the good ones. All the rest are bad.
And that's that. Another story in the classic infallible three-act structure. Good enough for Aristotle, good enough for The Simpsons.
Mr. Sizlak, I have a feeling there's going to be one more act to this story.
Well, I'm not hanging around for that. Four acts.
Structure and themes. So this is a parody of Frankenstein, of sorts. It's not a direct adaptation like, let's say, Not It or The Shining or Death Tomar, but it's more of an adaptation than Bart Simpson's Dracula or Dial Z for Zombies, which are kind of like mashup episodes.
Yeah.
So what elements of Frankenstein did you see in the story?
Well, from like the film adaptations, you got like the getting a brain, which is super important.
Mm-hmm.
He got the classic, like, It's Alive.
It's alive. It's moving. It's alive. Oh, it's alive. It's alive. It's alive. It's alive. Oh, in the name of God. Now I know what it feels like to be God.
Oh. It's alive.
The grave robbing, which is always great.
Yes.
Yeah.
Love me some grave robbing.
We should go grave robbing.
Yeah. I'll talk about it off the air. I halfway expected an abnormal brain joke.
Mm-hmm.
In Young Frankenstein.
His name was Abby. Abby Normal.
You telling me I put an abnormal brain in a 7-foot gorilla? the lab table with the electrodes and the... He didn't, raise him up into the lightning, but he did use electricity to bring him to life. But the obvious big difference here is that instead of reanimating, a stitched-together human body or just reanimating a dead person, that you... It was a human brain and put it in an android or robot body and sort of reanimate it that way. It's actually I think it's kind of a clever take. I'd like to see a real film adaptation go that direction.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, maybe there is one. There's so many freaking Frankenstein movies.
And if not, you could write it. It's in the public domain.
That'll be our Ernest Frankenstein.
Yeah, he finds Frankenstein or the monster's corpse and puts the brain in a robot body.
I like it.
You're even bigger now.
Or that could be the Victor Frankenstein sequel. That's James McAvoy's next project.
Yeah.
He writes to Daniel Radcliffe and he says, "Have you heard of the new field of robotics?"
It's not just a steampunk adventure for that crowd.
That crowd would be into that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not a steampunker myself.
Yeah, but I know how to exploit them.
Yeah.
Write us, Hollywood.
Right. Just put goggles on it. It'll be fine.
Just make everything look rusty and have goggles and steam. You're welcome.
Rusty Shackelford.
They're coming to get you, Barbara.
Okay, characters. So Mr. Burns plays himself, but is essentially Victor Frankenstein. Both extremely selfish characters. Mr. Burns is motivated by coming up with a workforce that he doesn't have to pay or essentially deal with.
You mean like AI artist?
Yeah. I have watched zero of those yet. Maybe someday. No, I watched one. That was the lie. Okay. Victor Frankenstein fits Mr. Burns pretty well.
Yeah.
And obviously Smithers is Igor. Because
Smithers.
Because he's a suckling toady. Do you think that Igor secretly had a gay crush on Victor Frankenstein in the movie?
No, but I do think that is going to be the modern day interpretation, no matter what we say, so.
Well, it wasn't in Victor Frankenstein.
Yeah.
What's his name in the movie? Christoph or Klauf or Klein or...
I don't remember.
It wasn't Igor.
Yeah.
Oh, shit. I just remember the monster,
We'll just call him Daniel.
The monster or the Igor. Assistant?
Yeah.
What's Igor's name in the original movie, Babylon? What, Google? Fritz. Fritz. That's what it is.
My name is Fritz.
And then Homer's the creature.
I'm going to be honest, whenever they opened up his head, I was expecting him to not have a brain in there at all.
Yeah.
I thought that was going to be the gag.
I can definitely see that being the gag. Or they have to get a magnifying glass to find
it. It's too small to fit in the robot body.
Yeah. We need to glue it in here to get it to hold still. But no,
I thought for sure that was going to be the joke. I was pleasantly surprised. It wasn't. I was like, okay.
You didn't see the Davy Crockett joke coming?
No, I was like, hey, there you go.
Look at me, I'm Davy Crockett.
I'll kill you all. I'll drive you crazy and I'll kill you all. I'm every nightmare you ever had. I am your worst dream come true. I'm everything you ever were afraid of.
Okay, so best joke, worst joke.
Best joke was Davy Crockett. It's the only one that made me laugh.
So that was definitely my favorite joke as a kid. The two that really get me these days, and they're not laugh out loud, but it's makes me smile so much it makes my face hurt,
mm-hmm.
is just where they just randomly take a pizza and grape soda break. Because it's like, obviously, like...
That's my worst joke.
That's my best joke. They, it's a long job. They're going to need to take a dinner break, but you're just not ready to see them just like, oh, hold on, we got to eat pizza.
I love your... I love the way you explain it.
Why is it your worst joke?
Yeah, I just didn't find it funny. I was like, okay, they're taking a break.
Yeah. I mean, you don't think about it. You like, I don't think, me, I'm always like, man, I bet they get hungry doing this. I wonder if they take a dinner break.
Yeah, carbo load.
Yeah. I always think it's funny when somebody says, I owe you a Coke. I don't know why. It's just a line that gets me in every piece of media I've ever heard it in. I don't know what my worst joke is. I don't have one. Fuck it.
Kiss me, fat boy.
For Kiss Me, Fat Boy, how would you think Mr. Burns's head would both improve and hamper Marge and Homer's sex life?
Do you want like a serious answer? Do you think Homer gives head is my question. I think he has to for Marge to put up with him this long.
Yeah.
Okay, so Mr. Burns can work on the nibbling while he's doing that. Or like if he needs to take a break to like get some breath, he's like, okay, Burns, you're go. And then she's all like, oh, homie, he has a dry tongue. Because he's old.
Well, they could lube his mouth.
Yeah.
Yeah. He can, like, take some of that grape soda and, like, swish it around like mouthwash.
Yeah. In my limited experience, a lot of partners like being bit, but they also like being kissed. So this lets you kiss somebody and bite them at the same time. So you get, like, the dual sensation.
So I have a similar answer, but I took it in a different direction.
Yeah.
So while Homer is going down on her, because he has that long, angular nose, he can also penetrate her from behind.
Okay.
With his nose.
Some stank nose.
Yeah, some stank nose while Homer's going down on her.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
Again, dual sensation.
And there's no downside, because the more the merrier.
Yeah.
Do you have a downside?
No, not really. I mean, I'm kind of a freak, so.
I guess maybe he could be like a little critical if like they're done with the foreplay and they're getting to the main event and.
Yeah, like what if he starts giving commentary?
Yeah, exactly.
Does he get to feel it too? Like, how does this work?
The impression I got was that he didn't have any control.
Okay.
But you never know. Like, I've seen stuff like that in cartoons before where, like, actually, they did a Treehouse of Horror where Bart's body was crushed and his head got sewed onto Lisa's body. And she had full control, except for the twist was that Bart realized when Lisa's asleep, he can control her body and he does terrible things. So maybe it's something like that.
Okay.
Maybe Homer has control, except for at the point of orgasm, then Mr. Burns gets control.
Oh, he gets to feel the orgasm. Just like all the billionaires.
He gets the 1%.
I get to steal the best part.
Okay.
Oh my God, are you Stephen King?
No, I'm Dean Koontz.
Oh.
Kings and Koontzes, my king for If I Only Had a Brain is, it's actually probably the next week on the Simpsons episode where they just give an episode preview as if Mr. Burns' body was going to continue to stay on Homer's torso, because I just want to see an episode like that. Just do a regular episode with something like that. Just, I want it. I want it.
My king's a little bit of a little meta.
Okay.
It's when I turned to you during the framing device and said, hey, is Bart in blackface?
He's wearing an executioner's mask.
I was like, oh, okay. I was like, how old is The Simpsons again? And that was my thought. I was like, wow.
Did you know that canonically Homer has a tattoo on his rear end that says Marge Madness? I might.
It's just part of his fifth or sixth origin story. Because I know they've done, like, how Marge and Homer have hooked up at least, like, a couple of times.
Yeah, they... There's two, like, big ones, but one of them... They met once when they were kids, but they never got each other's names.
Mm.
And Marge had her hair dyed brown because she was trying to iron out her hair, and it burned her hair, so she ended up dyeing it brown, and it was down instead of up. So they didn't know who each other were. I don't know. But yeah, they have done a couple different things. Continuity is not The Simpsons' strong point.
It doesn't need to be.
Yeah, it's a sitcom. And they've gotten better about it in recent years because I think they've seen like what continuity has done for Futurama. But again, they're way past the point where they could ever have continuity anywhere similar as good as Futurama's.
You just have all the fans in the comment section going, hey, where's Apu?
Yeah. Poor Apu.
What are we on, Koontz? What was your Koontz?
My Koontz was that they didn't make an abnormal brain joke.
Yeah, you know what? Also, yes.
Okay, great. And then for Treehouse 4 rankings, I think it's going to be my 7 or my 8. Did I like it more than I Know What You Diddly Idly Did? No, I think I'm going to put it second from the bottom. Below I Know What You Diddly Idly Did and above Dial Z for Zombie. And again, there's a link to our Google Drive in the show notes with our rankings if you want to check those out.
You criticize our taste.
Yeah, I mean, it's not hard. Where do you put this one?
It's my last one.
Okay.
It wasn't bad. It just, I feel like all the other ones had more laughs out of me, and that's kind of how I judge these, is do they make me laugh?
It's funny, because you're just looking at your list, you're actually leaning towards liking the newer episodes more than the older episodes.
Yeah, which is weird.
Which is weird, because they have a reputation of being, like, one of the greatest shows ever for, like, the first 10 or so years, and then really going downhill. My opinion is a little more complicated than that. I think they kind of have ups and downs through the years.
Yeah, they cycle.
Yeah. But it's funny because you definitely lean towards the newer episodes.
I think it's... I recognize a lot more of the references in some of these newer ones. Like, I'm a big Death Note fan.
Yeah.
Love it.
Very cool, very cool, very cool. Okay. Homework. Your elevator pitch for a Treehouse of Horror that's a parody of The Bride of Frankenstein featuring Marge as the bride.
Okay. So it opens with a funeral. Marge has died. Everybody's sad. Mr. Burns comes in with an offer that Homer cannot refuse, and because he doesn't want to take care of the kids himself, he takes it. Marge comes back, and she is Sexy Bride of Frankenstein. And it's just her being super sexy, but also dead, like her body parts are falling off. She smells. And it ends with Homer letting himself become a Frankenstein, and they all become a zombie family.
Aww. One of the 6 possible endings of Chapelwaite was they all become vampire family.
Yeah.
it's an alternate universe where Marge meets Homer as Frankenstein's creature, and she's like the village, like the most beautiful girl in this little Eastern European village that nobody's ever had the chance to woo successfully. And you could open the episode on her, like, in her living room, sitting on the sofa, and with like a line of suitors going out the door, like Mo and Lenny and Carl and Barney, and they're all just waiting to have their chance to pitch woo at her. And she gets frustrated, and she's like, I'm so tired of this. And she runs out to the little creek behind her house, and she sees brain dead Homer, Frankenstein's monster, like, running through the fields, and she like instantly falls in love with him. And then she turns like towards the camera to have a soliloquy, and then you see Homer pick up a little girl and throw her into a lake.
That's pretty great.
And then she becomes the bride.
I need to add something to my pitch.
Okay.
Everyone's going to ask how she died. Homer rolled over in his sleep and she suffocated.
She tried to scream, but her mouth was full of flap.
Yeah. She forgot to put the barrier up before they went to bed.
I love it. Okay. Question for listeners. What horror icon would you like to see Marge portray? She has portrayed quite a few of them over the years, but who would you like to see?
And why should she be on Playboy again?
Yes. Oh, I want to buy. Is that still, like, super expensive?
It's like $100.
This is the one with the bad cover. I don't want that.
No, you got to have the one with the good cover. That's $50.
Oh, my God. Beck would be so pissed. It wouldn't even be like she'd be mad that I bought a Playboy. She would be mad that I spent that much
money on a Playboy.
Yeah, but like if it was it's graded.
It's graded.
Okay. It's a 9.4, too.
That's pretty good.
I could put that on the wall.
Yeah. Or you could buy like a lower grade one because you really, and then get it graded.
Yeah. There's not even that many with the right cover. I guess you could buy one of these and it still has the spread inside of it, but
but come on.
I'd want to have the one with the cover.
That's like half the appeal.
Yeah. God, that 50's looking better and better. I wonder if they take offers.
Do they take offers on the 50? Or best offer?
I'm doing it. I'm making an offer. 35. I will, if you'll take it, I will buy it for $35. With shipping is 43, whatever. All right, live on the show. I just made an offer of $35 on a Marge Simpson Playboy. Now, look, it is, like, look at the condition. It's not in great.
Someone has used that. You're paying for someone to splish.
I'll just frame it. It's fine.
I can't wait for Beck to come down here one day when we're going. What did we spend $43 on? I ordered something for Daniel. It's no big deal.
Oh, that's great. I need to add this to my watch list, too. All right. That's cool. I will happily pay $35 for that. Okay, so for further reading, this is one of two Simpsons Treehouse of Horror parodies of Frankenstein. The other one is Frankenstein, which is a newer episode. It's from like season 20-something. We will be covering that at some point. I have it on the schedule. I'm not sure when it is, but just to break up these Alien-a-thon episodes, we're doing a couple of these. And we're trying to go backwards and get caught up and by doing like Treehouse of Horror episodes on things that we covered in the past.
Yeah. Splice it in there.
Yeah. Splice it. All right, upcoming on the Horror of Babylon, our next two Sunday episodes are on August 20th, The Last Voyage of the Demeter, aka Alien with a Vampire. And August 27th, our next novel episode will be, novel meaning a book episode, not novel as in like cute, is The Exorcist by William Peter Blatty. And I believe Hef will be back for that one. And then our next two bonus episodes are on Thursday, August 24th, Alien Resurrection. And oh, look, here it is. I probably should have looked. On August 31st, Treehouse of Horror of Babylon, Frankenstein.
Frankenstein.
Thank you to our patrons, Abigail the First, Breaker of Chains, Mother of Dragons, and
Logan,
the Full Metal Patron.
And thank you to Forestman Comics, which you can visit at the Morgantown Mall at Morgantown, West Virginia, Mall Robinson in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, or at the Village Square in every small town in Transylvania, because Ron franchised it out in Romania. And those Eastern Europeans, they just love their comics and gaming. So they've got one in every town there.
I honestly believe that.
Yeah, it's for sure true. All right, thanks for watching If I Only Had a Brain and recording with me.
It was a good time. These are fun episodes.
They are. Stay tuned for our socials and stay scary.
Stay scary, everybody.
And now for the obligatory socials. Please like, share, and subscribe. You can find the podcast on Twitter at HorrorPod69. You can also follow us on Facebook, Instagram, Slasher, and Goodreads. Become part of the Disturbed community by asking for the Facebook group and Discord links. Send dick pics to the Horror of Babylon podcast at gmail.com. Support the show at patreon.com/thehorrorofbabylon. In closing, you can let your friends know that the Horror of Babylon is available on YouTube, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Audible, and all other major podcast apps. Stay scary.